Hey, welcome to Behind the Scenes with Sonda, a podcast with a focus on tackling the challenges in the healthcare billing world. I'm your host, Sonda Kunze, and I'm here to share about the real issues in healthcare billing. On this podcast, I'll be talking about the challenges that face providers every day when dealing with these large insurance carriers, showcasing the barriers that have to be overcome just to get paid. I have over 30 years experience in all aspects of the business side of healthcare. And with my expertise, I hope to provide you with some critical information and support regarding the world of healthcare billing. Together, we can make an impact. So let's dive in. Hey everyone, welcome in. Today's podcast is a solo one. I'm entitling it, Don't Be Denied Your Right to Payment. So this goes out to all the providers out there, as well as consumers of their own healthcare. Don't let claims denials leave you lacking, and in the case of a patient, leave you with a higher liability than what you actually should have. Everybody needs to remember, as a consumer, you are paying pretty high premiums to be covered by your insurance. And for the providers out there, we are spending a ton of money mitigating claims denials. So let's make sure that you are not denied your revenue. And we're going to come at this both ways, like I said, from a provider appeals process and also from a patient not having liability. So let's just jump in. Did you know that error rates and denials from insurance carriers can get up to 49% of denial rates? Obviously, there's a lot of data out there, and you'll see anything from like 10% to 40% denial rates. But if you actually think about some of the larger health insurance carriers in the United States, and we can all name five of them right off the top of our head. And if you look at their data, and under the ACE, which is the Affordable Care Act, they are required to be transparent. And that is why this information is public on what they deny claims on, how many claims are denied, what kind of money does that involve, et cetera. And if we're just looking at the ACA-driven healthcare plans, it's not even talking about the private part of those insurers who are not part of the marketplace, but also just, you know, providing coverage for employers, et cetera, that aren't part of that. So if you're thinking anywhere from 10 to 40% of claims are denied, really what I think should like freak everybody out is that less than 1% are appealed. Now that sounds like a really small amount, but that is the absolute truth. If you're talking about percentage wise or large dollar, when it came down to it, the number of appeals were really low. So part of our business is medical and behavioral health billing. And in that, we are really spending a lot of our revenue to serve our clients on the back end. It takes a ton of time to mitigate the claims. There are sometimes, yes, when a claim rejects and we're able to go into an insurance portal and make a change. But honestly, that rarely ever works the first time. And a lot of our clients ask us, I don't understand why I'm not getting paid. They'll say things like that. This is a clean claim. It went out as a clean claim. The clearinghouse called it that, and it gets to the insurance carrier and it denies. All I can really say about that is we've seen some pretty stupid denials, and there's no other word for it. Literally, the denials that come through have nothing to do with the claim at all. Sometimes we really feel that this is just an algorithm. I'm sure you've heard of that. There's a lot of great articles out there about recently, and I know we posted on our Instagram. So if you haven't read those, please give us a follow, because you'll see that we're going to continue to post that information so everybody is aware of what's out there. But for sure, there are some algorithms that are built in the system to deny claims that have even the most clean information on them. And when we say clean, it's all the numeric data that actually points to services. we just really get, there are days when we'll literally just get on a Zoom or a Teams meeting to discuss the latest ridiculousness of an insurance carrier. I'm not lying. And honestly, this is the stuff that gets me going, gets me passionate about what I'm doing and about what my team is doing to get these claims overturned. I mean, even in our state, our local Medicaid carrier in this state is going through some growing pains of their own, and they had to change their software systems in the background. And as you can imagine, at a state level, that's a tremendous change. But honestly, what has happened is really something we could never have imagined that's hitting these providers in a way where revenue is not flowing in. And if you are a provider where your main payer is Medicaid, you are suffering greatly here in this state. And I'm sure that happens in other states as well. So I'm not really picking on Ohio in general, but I can tell you, you have to watch as even insurance carriers have to make changes and upgrades in their own systems. And what worked last week for a claim to go through this week, it's denied. So this is something we are constantly aware of and checking on, and anybody in the healthcare industry, and if I have colleagues listening in, you all are shaking your head and rolling your eyes is going, yep, this is what it's like. So, I mean, we'll see things like denials for due to lack of prior authorization, where a prior authorization isn't necessary. And we have seen, obviously, a big name come out publicly about reducing their amount of prior authorization requests. But in that, sometimes that denial has absolutely nothing to do with the prior auth. It has to do with a provider not being credentialed. So if you are a medical clinic, a behavioral health clinic, a physician, if you are receiving lack of prior authorization denials, you will want to check how your contracts are and how whether or not you're through the credentialing process. Because here in our state, we see that as a real standout where a carrier will use that denial, but it actually isn't correct because there's no prior authorization. You try to push the claim through again, going, this service doesn't require prior authorizations. It's a simple office visit. And as you push it back through, it denies again, et cetera. And then sometimes you'll lose your appeal rights if you go down the wrong avenue. So it's really important to understand that sometimes the denial you receive is literally just part of a grouping of reasons. And they can't, I guess, they can't think of every possible way that your claim can be denied and created, but they'll bundle them into other things. So the moral of the story and the reason I'm on this podcast talking about it is I want everyone to appeal every denial at every level you can. We must push back on these major insurance carriers that have people sitting in denial roles, that are paying people to deny your claims, that are using algorithms to deny your claims, and are using what I would call macro denials in order to just kick a claim back. And really, we just want everyone to get paid for what they submit. And obviously, there is the other side of the coin. So anyone listening who's thinking about the other end where things that are submitted that aren't submitted correctly and what have you, we're not going to talk about during this podcast, but I promise you I will get to that on another one because I've got some really interesting stories to tell you on that. So tune in when we go to the other side of the coin where we talk about where claims were submitted erroneously. But today we're talking about mitigating with these insurance carriers, these darn denials where our providers are not getting paid. So we talked about lack of prior authorization, which could mean prior auth, and it could mean a problem with your credentialing. And let's just take 2 seconds to talk about credentialing since we're talking about this particular denial. Anybody in the business knows that it is unreal what a provider goes through to get credentialed. It's paperwork, yes, electronic paperwork gets filled out, but it sits on the side of the carrier for sometimes 3 months, sometimes 6 months. I even have had a client tell me it has been pending for a year. And when you call these insurance carriers, they just kick you from person to person and you can't get an answer, or it's going to be next week, or it's in process, and that's all I see. So really, I would say the odds are stacked against the providers who aren't already credentialed with these insurance carriers. It's a long haul, and you really need a good credentialing company that understands how to play the game. And I'm going to say that clearly. It's how to play the game to get credentialed, because really they're looking for big things. You're not on the exclusion list. You went to school. You have all your CMEs. You have practice. There's lots of things that they look for. But in general, I would say 95% of those go through just fine. Maybe 5% have a problem and they get kicked back. Why are they held for 3 months, 6 months, a year? You know, only those on the other end understand that, and we do not. And I could name the carriers that are doing that, and I will not on this particular podcast. You know who you are. It's just a bunch of red tape that makes no sense to me. Again, I'm a small little fish in a gigantic ocean, but I really felt the need to come out and talk about it, because if I don't, who then? So hang in there while we talk about little different things on the podcast. Hopefully they're interesting to you. So let's continue on with our denials so that we don't spend too much time on the credentialing, because I could really spend a lot of time on how terrible that is for these practices who are starting up, who need patients seen, and the provider they have to see them is not credentialed. It's awful. Denials due to out-of-network. Well, again, sometimes that happens because your provider's not credentialed yet. Sometimes it happens because you choose to be out of network. And in that case, you can either find a full denial because they won't pay for out of network. But what we typically see is the higher patient liability on the out of network. Denials due to an exclusion of service. I implore you, especially as a consumer, that you need to check your policy and definitely appeal these where you feel that the service should be covered based on the terms of your plan. For physicians and behavioral health providers, there is so many things that they can call an exclusion, which really isn't. Remember how I talked about that they're grouping things? I will give you a great example where this exclusion was used and it was not correct. So take remote patient monitoring. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's when the services are provided outside the office by a device. And I'm not going to go into all the regulations under that, because there are a plenty. If you want to learn more about remote patient monitoring, tune in. We're going to do a podcast about that too. It's on the list. Anyway, so remote patient monitoring, as it stands right now, 2023, the rules are that they're typically 30 days apart. If you submit to a carrier who pays for that and you submit prior to the 30 days, let's say by accident you had it at day 29, you could receive, and we have, our clients have received this, a denial that said the service was excluded, which of course didn't make sense when we first saw this, because it's been paid all along, when in fact the issue was the time factor did not correlate correctly on the claim side of things on the calculation. So there's a great example where exclusion of a service was an invalid denial of the claim that had to be appealed in order to get it turned around and paid, and it was definitely a valid service. Now there's denials based on something called medical necessity, not medically necessary. We do see a lot of this in behavioral health. So if you're in behavioral health, pipe up for a moment, listen in. We talk about this a little bit. Behavioral health has a sort of like a subset of services that they do together. You got to make sure you have the assessment. You need to make sure you have a valid treatment plan, and the services that you are providing are tied to that treatment plan. We are seeing a ton of services being denied not medically necessary because they don't match what's on the treatment plan. So places need to understand that is a living, breathing document that needs to be adjusted as your client needs services adjusted. We see a lot of not medically necessary on the behavioral health for the diagnosis. If at all your patient is an elderly patient with any type of cognitive dysfunction, you could indeed see your psychotherapy be rejected, not medically necessary. So Be careful of that denial. There are denials for a ton of reasons, and really we could go into it, but I'm trying to keep these little solo bites as you know, little as possible so that you have time to consume them along a drive or something like that. It's super important. So there's a lot of reasons, and what we see in terms of in 2021, the value reported was 41.7 million in network claims denied in a year, in a coverage year. They also report that 44.7 million of them are roughly like non-correct information in terms of the denials. And it's a, I'd say, combination of claims not being clean or claims not getting through properly or missing some information. But really, here's the thing that should, again, shock you. And I think I'd said it before, is that less than 1% of these are appealed. And we really have the right to appeal claims as consumers. And obviously, as providers, clinics, medical clinics, behavioral health providers, always check your rejections. Don't automatically assume that the patient has liability when they say this is an excluded service, charge your patient, because in fact, it could be a problem with a diagnosis code. These are all things that we will dive into deeper as we go on in these podcasts. So today, I just wanted to sort of blow the lid off of these denials that are ridiculous. And I want everybody to understand you have a right to deny. You have an absolute right to your revenue if you're a provider and you need to fight for it. Hey, even being in this business as a medical billing partner to all of these clients that I have, I understand what it takes. And in fact, it cost us money to fight these claims, but that is the business that we are in. If you are a consumer, look at your explanation of benefits. Do not let these pass you by as your liability on this or that, when in fact your plan might cover it, or it might not even be supposed to be going to your deductible. So be a very informed consumer. If you're a provider's office, if you're part of our billing community, make sure you go after that money. Check those rejections. Do not take them for face value. And folks, I plan to bring you as much as I can on this information. Hope you enjoyed today's title of Don't Be Denied. Make sure you're checking and getting all the revenue that you deserve. So I'm signing out, and have a good one. Thank you so much for listening to Behind the Scenes with Sonda. Remember, you can make a difference by sharing this podcast with others who are experiencing the same struggles. The more we reach, the more chances we have to create a community of like-minded people who want to impart change to the business side of healthcare. If you love this episode, please don't forget to rate and review. Until next time, stay curious, stay inspired, and keep learning.